the 8th chapter of John. Wonderful chapter that begins by Jesus going to the temple and teaching there. He went there daily when he was in Jerusalem. And we find him teaching and instructing on several occasions. Here, you find Moses' law being brought into question. And a woman taken in adultery. The man, of course, we've debated it for years, has never been mentioned. The woman was caught. Well, if they caught her, they caught him as well. But they didn't bring him, did they? And so it's kind of a double standard there. Nevertheless, Jesus, you remember, wrote in the sand, and we don't know what he wrote, but we can only imagine. And he looked up and all the accusers were gone. He said, "Woman, where are thine accusers?" She said, "There are none, Lord." Or, "Where are thy, you know, people that condemn thee, judge you?" And the Lord said, she said, "There are none, Lord." And he said, basically, "Go thy way and sin no more." Forgiveness. We talk about a lot God's love, and we think that unconditional love means there's no circumstances, no retributes for our actions. That's not so. God loves us beyond measure, and He loves us unconditionally. But it does not mean that we cannot please Him in the things that we do. I've oftentimes heard people say, "Well, if God loves me unconditionally, then there's nothing I can do that'll make God happy or make God sad." You're wrong. You're wrong. Because God shows Himself to us as a father when we've been born again. And fathers can have unconditional love for their children and still be displeased with the actions of their lives. And that's where we are this morning in John chapter 8. We began reading in verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them," to the Pharisees and the scribes. "Then said Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let us pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, this morning, desiring to lift him up and magnify him before this congregation and the world. And we pray today, Holy Spirit, that you'll give us that which we lack, liberty to think, to speak, strength to stand and physically be what we should be. I pray today that you'd add unction and zeal to the word as it's read, as it goes forth into the hearts, the minds of individuals today. Forgive my sin. I cast myself upon you. Ask for your help in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Now we go back to verse number 29, our text verse this morning. In verse 29, the latter part, Jesus said, For I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please him. I like that. Well, you say, well, he was God in the flesh. Yes, but he was born a body, flesh and blood, a human being. Yet God, the Father, was his Father. And we find that Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. All God and all man. You know, I can't hardly wait when we get to heaven. I used to dream, how am I going to see the Father and see the Son and see the Holy Spirit? You know what I think of my opinion is when we get to heaven, all we're going to see is Jesus. He's all there is. He's the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. And we find that God the Father himself spoke that in Colossians and Ephesians, again on several occasions, that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness of the Godhead, that's the Trinity, should dwell. But here's what I want you to get. For I do always those things that please him. Let's talk about the man that pleased God. Let's talk about him as our example, and that your job and mine as a child of God. And I look around the building this morning, and I determine that there are not many, if any at all, that are without Christ today. Maybe some. I don't know. Can't see your heart. But from the testimonies that I've seen and the lives I've seen, I take it that most are born again this morning and children of God. So let's use Jesus Christ as our example and say that our greatest duty, our greatest privilege would be pleasing God in our lives. Now, that's a big thing. That's a big job. That's a big step. I can't do it without his help. I need his enabling. But my greatest job, my greatest work is that the Father be pleased with my life. You know, you and I are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day, and we're going to give an account of our physical life. I used to hear it preached when I was a kid. Boy, it used to scare me to death. When we get to heaven and stand before Jesus, there's going to be a gigantic screen up there, and everything that you've ever done in your whole life in sinful ways are going to be flashed on that screen for everyone to see. Man, what a dreadful thing. I don't want everyone to see what I've done. Do you? I don't want everyone to know what I've thought. Do you? The great thing is that the blood that we sing about this morning has washed us from our sins, and they're as far as the east is from the west. And God said, and I will know them, remember them no more. That means forever. That means when you and I stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat as a child of God, we're not going to be called in question as to our sins. We're going to be called into question as to what we did with the body that he gave us while we were here on the earth. In other words, when we've been born again, what have we accomplished? How many have we taught? How many have we brought to Jesus? What have we done for Him to glorify Him, to please Him in our bodies, in our flesh and blood? The man that pleased God. Years ago, when I was just turning teenager, I rode the church bus to a youth rally. Apparently, at that particular time, as I'm thinking back, I had worked and saved and worked, and my grandfather helped me get a little Honda motorcycle to ride, and I rode that thing 5 miles from out on the farm all the way into town on a gravel road at that particular time, and then later on they paved it. But the point is, I rode my motorcycle 35 miles an hour, was about the high it would go, and 5 miles. Then I boarded the church bus and I rode 20 miles to the youth rally. I'd asked my mother to go, if I could go, and she said, "Why do you want to go?" My reply was, and I still remember it to this very day, "Because I just want to be a good Christian," I said. Well, those were all the key words. Those were the words that got my permission to go to the youth rally and ride the bus. But I got to tell you that my motives really were different, even though I was saved and born again at the time. I really didn't care about becoming a better Christian. What I really wanted was a night out with my friends. We cut up at the rally. Preacher had to get on to us. And when I got home that night, having rode the bus back to our home church and then riding that motorcycle in the dark with that little headlight on the front that probably couldn't see further than 10 feet in front of me, I rode it back home to the farm. My dad was waiting on me. We didn't have cell phones in those days, but we had dial-up phones that worked quite well. When I got home, he said, "The preacher called. He told me what you boys did. Your mom was so proud of you that you wanted to go to the youth rally to be a good Christian, a better Christian. Son, you've let your mother down. You ought to be ashamed of yourself." And boy, I was, when those words struck my heart, I was really ashamed of myself. I'd rather have had a whipping than to be told that. You let your mama down. And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And I was. Every day you and I let our Heavenly Father down. We displease Him with our sinfulness. We displease our Heavenly Father in our open disobedience. And our open indifference to sin and a coldness around us. Every day we let our Heavenly Father down with the more that we let worldliness into our lives. But there is a man who always pleased Him. "For I do always those things that please Him." Jesus, the God-man. And I can never hope to live to the standard of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's what we're to measure our lives by. Not by each other, but by the example that Jesus left us. But He gives me enough grace from time to time to keep me encouraged to keep striving to live like Him as much as possible. Striving to please Him in all things that I do. Oftentimes I come away ashamed and embarrassed that I've let Him down. When the Holy Spirit says, "Verl, you know you really blew that one. You really let Him down. And I know it." There is a man who always pleased Him. Jesus is His name. There's three things we find in chapter 8 that I want to bring to you this morning. Three things that I picked out that I want to bring to you. Number one, I want to talk about the great light in verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Every born-again child of God has no excuse to say, "Well, I didn't know." Ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. To claim ignorance, I didn't know, Lord, it won't hold water. Because the Lord says, I am the light of the world. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John gives witness that Jesus is the light and that He has come, that every man that is born into the world will be lighted by that light of Jesus Christ Himself. And if a man then sees his need as a sinner and sees his shortcomings, he can call out according to the light that he has and knows, call out to God for help and grace and mercy and, Lord, forgiveness. And God will give to him exactly what he asked, but then God will give more light or more understanding. I'm getting poor eyesight, but I found something that helps me when I start searching for an item or an article in the house. I go get my light, my LED light that's really bright. And guess what? Normally, when I spotlight it around, there's the item I was looking for. I overlooked it two or three times. But when you put that LED light on it, man, you can see everything all around. Oh, you can even see the dust on the furniture that you didn't know was there. Ooh, on the hardwood floor underneath, you can see the dirt starting to pile up. And it's just accumulates, but you didn't know it was there. You thought the floor was clean until that light hit it. Isn't that the way our lives match up today? We think we're doing pretty well until the light of Christ shines on our life. And then we see the shortcomings. But the Bible says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And what about that? And they love their deeds being evil. They're not even inclined to change until the light of Jesus shines upon them. But rather than allowing it to shine, they will close their Bible. They'll stay away from the preaching. They'll stay away from prayer. They won't get involved in those things because it's the light that shows up how shortcoming we really are. The great light of Jesus. Jesus had been teaching in the temple on that very day. The Pharisees and the scribes brought a woman taken in adultery to him, but he forgave her. Down in verse number 10, Jesus lifted up himself and saw none, but the woman said unto, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I like it. He forgave her. From a moral and a spiritual standpoint, our view of the world is that it is in darkness today. From a moral and spiritual standpoint, America is turning out the light rapidly and succumbing to wickedness and evilness all around us. Oh, what kind of nation, what kind of world will this be for our children, our grandchildren? It's a horrible, wicked, wicked place. You find that the world is in darkness around us. The wicked seem to prosper everywhere they are. Corruption is rampant. I was told the other day that in a lot of the man camps now, I'm not talking about you guys that sometimes have to be there, but in a lot of the man camps and the RV parks now, that there is a U.S. Marshal, Deputy Marshal, that says that there are tens of thousands of child molesters and sex offenders that are living there. They know where they are. They're registered. Tens of thousands that have come to our area along with the hard workers and everyone else. They bring their darkness with them. I'm here to tell you, it's a dangerous place for our children and our grandchildren. It's a dangerous and a wicked place because of the darkness that's around us, the corruption that is rampant, the crime that is increasing. What does the future hold for us? And where will we go from here? And what's the answer? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. if we draw close to the Lord, we get more light. If I understand the Bible correctly, light is also called illumination. And Paul says at one time he was praying for their knowledge to be lightened or given more light, more and more. So light also is reference in illumination or understanding. You can have knowledge but not understand what you have. And God gives the light not only of right and wrong, but the understanding of it. I like that. And it helps so much. There is sweet assurance to those who know Jesus. And Romans 8:28 still in the book. And all things do work together for good to them who are the called according to God's purpose. He didn't say everything that happened to us would be good, but he said, everything that happens to you, I will work out for your good. You will learn something from it. You will be better for it. And we have to take that at heart, do we not? When we don't know what all the answers are, we don't know the exact direction, we just have to trust the Lord that He does and that He's guiding and that His promises are true and we can depend upon them 100%. Years ago, as a young preacher and a young pastor starting out in the second church that I actually ever pastored, did not even exist in a town or a city. It was in a crossroads, way out in the country. It was called Crossroads Community. They had a filling station and a little grocery store inside. And that's about it. Several churches in the area. But it was made up of farmers all around Crossroads Community. And in that church, there was a young girl that I watched grow up for several years. And she got married young. I think she was probably about 18 or 19. And the young boy, that young man, was the same age. I could call their names, but I will not. I still see them in this moment. She was blonde hair, blue-eyed, and he was sandy-haired and blue-eyed as well. Good-looking kids. Man, anyone would be proud of them. He started dating her, and she started responding. They got married, and I performed the marriage ceremony for them. They were so happy, young couple. And they've been married less than a year, and back in our part of the country where they have to charge you for sunshine because it's so difficult to pipe in, you know, that we live so far back in the sticks that there's not a lot of chlorinated swimming pools and those kinds of things around. So they went swimming down the river. White River. White River's known for its sandbars and its currents, its undertows. It's known. It's been cut. A channel's been cut. They run barges up and down. But these were people that we call, I mean, us uptown country folks called these other side of the town country folks river rats. They grew up along the riverbank. They could swim like a fish. They were just, you know, catch the catfish, live off the river. They were river rats. And Leslie and Chris were out one Sunday afternoon instead of being in church, and they were out swimming. Hot. It was hot that summer. And they went swimming in the river, and they had already swam across and dove off the bluff several times and swam back over to where their little picnic thing was, and a few more people there with them. And they were going to swim back across, and Chris kept saying, come on, let's go one more time. She said, no, I'm tired. He said, one more time. Let's go one more time. Over and back. No, I'm tired. Come on. And he finally encouraged her. And they started across. About halfway across the river, he got cramps. And he went under. And he started crying for help. And she looked at him. And she swam to him, and he pulled her under, and she got loose and came up gasping for air and spitting water. And she said, preacher, all I remember is his blue eyes staring at me. And she said, I had to kick loose from him. He was taking me down. I'd already gone under twice. I couldn't go under again. He had cramps so bad he could not swim, and he drowned. She said, the last thing I remember was seeing his blue eyes go underneath the water. And she had nightmares about it for a long time. The funeral came and people filled the building where we were. There was a lot of weeping out loud. There was a lot of turmoil there. People that didn't understand, people that couldn't get a grip on it, people that had no hope, no help. But Leslie was okay. She'd been brought up in church. She knew Jesus. Chris did as well. But instead of being in church, they were out there swimming that day. Nevertheless, Leslie made it. All things work together for good. Preacher, how can that be so? All we have to do is trust the Lord. She got through it. Why? Because Christians have hope that the rest of the world does not have. There are times in your life and mine that the only comfort and hope that we will have is the fact that we know Jesus Christ as Savior. And we know Him to love us. And we know that our lives, our bodies are in His hands, no matter what. No matter what. That's our hope. That's our comfort, that He's going to take care of us. There's so many hopeless and unhappy people in the world today. Oftentimes because they're following a false light. Notice, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light. Look, the light of life. Life. You and I need illumination in our lives to make it from day to day. We need the light of the world in our life to go from difficulty to difficulty. We need the light of the world that will guide us, help us, speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us. And Jesus says, I am that light of the world. And He said this, He made a promise, if you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness. If you follow me, you shall not walk in darkness, but I shall give to you the light of life. Everyday life, every day, you will have light for your life if you follow me. If you follow me. The problem comes with so many hopeless and unhappy people today is that they begin to follow a false light rather than the true light. There is a true light and there is a false light. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13 real quickly. Paul's in a discussion about Jesus Christ being the true Christ and the true one and the help. And then he comes into a discussion about beware, children of God, in the city of Corinth. Oh, they were in a wicked and a vile city where idolatry was rampant and lewdness and crudeness was free for the asking. It was all there. Every vice you can imagine in the city of Corinth. And Paul says, beware, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. A messenger of light. Oh, Satan oftentimes is not the red dressed pitchfork carrying fork tail, horns out of the head, evil looking monster. He comes sometimes with this compassionate, caring, false light kind of transformation that unless you stay close to Jesus, you might be misled by. So often, and so many follow the false light. The world calls, and the world offers, and I'm talking to Christians now. We find the divorce rate as high among Christians as non-Christians. There's something wrong with that. We find in the Christian lives, addictions the same as in non-Christians. There's something wrong with that. There's a problem there. People are following the false light. The world comes and the world says, here's a solution to your problem. Here's the joy of your life. Here is direction and purpose for you. And yet God has not given it. The world calls and says, here's sex that is available for you. I'm going to talk to our young people for a little while. And I want to say to them that sex outside of marriage for one man, one woman is absolutely a sin unto God, and it displeases Him completely. We live in a culture and a society that is, I hear it all the time, changing. Man, you need to get with it, preacher. Things are changing. Times are changing. I give a rip about it. God never changes. The Word of God never changes. Psalm 100 verse 5 says that the truths and the principles of the truths of God's holy Word endures to every generation. God remains the same. It's the world that changes. It's culture that changes. It's society that changes. It's Hollywood that helps to change people. Hollywood is that evil angel transformed into light that portrays normalcy out of a sodomite marriage. That portrays normalcy out of abortion for birth control. That portrays normalcy of having 5 or 10 different husbands or wives. And if you don't like one, get rid of one and get you another. Eventually you'll be all right. There's nothing wrong with it. Hollywood portrays sex as part of a fellowship and a bond that we all go through and we all have until we find the right partner in life. And then that might not even be normal. If we don't want to have just one partner, we can have multiplicity of partners. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And I'm here to tell you that it's not just about the physical act of sex, but there is a spiritual union between two people that happens at the same time. And if that person happens not to be your husband or your wife, there is a union or a bonding. There is part of you that is left behind when you go home and he or she goes the other direction. There is part of you that will never, ever be the same ever again if you do that. God's will for our lives is to wait until we're married to have relationships with our wife or our husband. Abstinence. Oh, that's old fashioned. It sure is, but it's in the book. Young people, listen to me. The world says, go ahead, go ahead. And they smile and it's so lovely and it's sexy and it's fulfilling and it's alluring and it's none of those things in reality once you cross that line. Oftentimes you end up hating the one that took your virginity from you. I'm talking plainly, but I'm talking from the book. I have a reason for it. There are so many hopeless and unhappy people because they follow the false light. Well, hey, it used to be that the guys called up the gals and made a date with them and had to woo them and chase them and impress them. You know, hey, look at this, baby. Hey, look at this. Look at this, man. Hey, I can do, watch me do push-ups, man. Oh, yeah. You know, we had to impress the gals. Now it's no longer like that. Now the gals run after the guys and call the guys. That's not right. It's still not right. I'd be turned off by that if it happened. And I was a young man. I'd be careful. I could tell you stories. Hey, in Christian schools. Why? Because Christians are no different in their emotional makeup. They watch the same TV as the non-Christian watches. And they get the same brainwashing as everyone else gets. And they begin to have a battle inside and they begin to think, well, this is wrong. No, this is right. Well, but this is this and I feel this way and this is pulling. And I'm going to tell you that the flesh wins most of the time. The flesh wins most of the time. Just because the world portrays it as right does not make it right. Whether we're talking about sex, or we're talking about drugs, or we're talking about alcohol, or we're talking about money. Just because the world portrays it as normal doesn't make it normal unless God says it's normal. How many verses of Scripture has God given us talking about fornication, which is sex before marriage? How many verses does God give us talking about adultery, which is one partner betraying another partner as they've been married in a sexual relationship? And God says, it's horrible. It's wrong. Again and again and again and again and again. But the world portrays it as just having fun. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. And Paul's talking about Moses. And he said, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, listen, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm not going to stand here and portray to you and lie to you this morning. The Bible says sin has its pleasures. That sin is pleasurable, oftentimes because we think we're getting by with something. Oftentimes because it appeals to the flesh and we satisfy a lust or a craving of the flesh. And boy, I never knew this was so much fun until sin finds you out. And then it's dreadful. Moses refused the pleasures and the joys of sin for a season. It means the pleasures of sin are only temporary. They will find you out. I read in Luke chapter 8, the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 14 and 15, what Jesus said. Luke 8:14. He's talking about the word of God being sown and the word of God going forth. And he says in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they had heard the word of God, like you're doing right now, as you're hearing the word of God, as I'm speaking it, when they heard the word go forth, they went forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and a good heart, he's referring to those who received the word of God, those who became Christian, those who became born again, those which have an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Keep the word. Keep the word. Keep Jesus' commandments is what he's saying. So there are so many hopeless and unhappy people in the world today, and mainly it's because they're following a false light. Not the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, but they're following the light that Satan has portrayed himself as, and now the whole nation has gone sex mad, and every time you walk through Walmart, or you walk through HEB, or you walk through any fast or convenience store that has racks before you get to the cash register, now you have to walk by all of the People magazines and all the junk and the garbage, and oh, so-and-so just had a baby out of wedlock with so-and-so, and they portray someone as being sexy and someone to be desired, and on and on. It's crazy. It's the world we live in. It's not Christianity. It's not the light of the world that's being portrayed. It's the light of that evil angel called Lucifer that's being portrayed. I challenge every young person today, whether you go to Christian school, whether you're homeschooled, whether you go to public school, I challenge each and every one to remain pure until you say, I do, with your spouse. And it may be that he or she, either one, I've known girls in Christian schools who came on to guys lewdly and crudely, and we kicked them out of school because they were caught. Yeah, it happened. In Christian school, preacher. Yeah, yeah. What about in Christian church? What about in church? We're dealing with the same flesh. We're dealing with the same people who are confused. And the reason why they're confused is because they're not following the right light. And the reason why they say, well, the whole world is doing this. I don't understand why you have to be so narrow-minded. No, you got it wrong. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Jesus says, I'm the only one that can help you. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That means laboring under the pressure of peers, laboring under the pressure of fellow workers, laboring under the pressure of what you're seeing or viewing on your TV sets or your billboards or your magazines every single day. Laboring under that pressure. And every single one of them is telling you to do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong. There's only one book that I know of that tells you to do right. It's right here. They're either intimating to you that you need to get with it to do this. If you're ever going to have a girlfriend, you have to do this. If you're ever going to get married and have a husband, you got to do this. It's all wrong. It's all a lie of Satan. Jesus said, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the just, that's those who've been born again. Listen, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't even understand what's tripping them up and why they're confused. They can't see. It's dark. The wicked walk in darkness and don't know what's... They don't know that drugs is bad for them. They don't know that alcohol is tripping them. They don't know that illicit sex is not fun, that it is wrong and all kinds of diseases and everything else can come that way. They walk in darkness, he says. My goodness. Many go astray. Many Christians go astray and they follow Jesus for a while seemingly, but then they get not satisfied. They go to church for a while, then they quit. They serve Him for a while, then they quit. Then they began to follow the world. They give up. They say, man, there's so much pressure here. You know, there's so much free. Man, I tell you, I've got a letter coming out about the way women dress today. There's a letter coming out. And I get confronted with it everywhere I go, HEB or the doctor's office. It's a horrible situation the way some women dress today. Horrible. But they say, oh, well, it's the fashion. Oh, well, it's culture. It's the way. Are you crazy? Some of the men who let their wives go out dressed the way they dress, like a prostitute on the street, that shows everything and is alluring by the way she dresses. Are you serious? Christian women, are you serious? Men, have you lost your mind? Oh man, she looks good, doesn't she? That ought to be between you and your wife in your bedroom, not on the street corner somewhere. That's all I'll say. I got a letter coming out. Hey, look, there's some great lessons that Jesus gives us here in John chapter 8. He says, number one, the great lesson, those who will not come to me will die in their sins. In John chapter 8, look at verse 24. He says, literally, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus said, I'm the same one I've been telling you about this whole time. In John chapter 3 and verse number 36, I want you to see what he says. He that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Man, you've never experienced the wrath of God. You don't want to experience the wrath of God. The wrath of God abideth upon the wicked. We don't want that. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. There is no hell for the person who has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But condemned already are those who do not believe. You say, what do I have to do to go to hell? Not believe Jesus Christ to be who he says he is. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Revelation 20:15 says that whosoever's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into a lake of fire. Mercy. So Jesus is teaching us some things. He says, those who do not come to me will die in their sins and spend eternity in hell. Number two, the second thing. He's saying the Son of Man shall set you free. In John chapter 8, in verse number 31, Jesus tells these Jewish religious crowd, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, there we go, if you stay in the light, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33, they say, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Remember that. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Oh, the great lesson Jesus gives us. The Son shall make you free. The Jews argued with him and said, we've never been in bondage. We're the seed of Abraham. Oh, but you forget. What about Egyptian bondage for hundreds of years? What about the Babylonian bondage? Oh, they forgot about that. What about the Roman bondage you're under right now? As Jesus was speaking to them. Worse than these is to be a slave to sin. The drunkard who can't quit his drinking is a slave to the sin of alcohol. The gambler who can't quit his gambling and playing the, well, preacher, I don't gamble, I just buy lottery tickets. You're in the same ship. The gambler who can't quit is slave to his sin and his addiction. The dopehead who can't quit is slave to his sin and his addiction. The porn watcher is slave to his addiction and his sin. The fornicator and the adulterer is slave to the flesh and in bondage to their sin. Oh, but preacher, everybody's doing it. I didn't. You know, my mama used to ask me all the time and say, you know, if all your friends jump off the cliff and kill themselves, are you going to follow them? I said, well, Mom, that's dumb. No, I'm not going to follow them. Then why do you have to go over here because your friends go? Mom, everybody's going to be there. That's no excuse. But everyone's doing it. No excuse. But we're living in a different time. No excuse. The sins of the flesh are exactly the same today as they were 2,000 years ago. No excuse. I remember looking at some videos of turn of the last century or the century before when video was just coming out and they were filming everyone going to the beach and swimming. And all the women wearing these things that came all the way down and then the little skirts that came down and man, they were dressed and had on little hats and they were going swimming. I thought, man, we've come a long way, haven't we? Now then, it's not like they're trying to cover up anything. Now they're trying to expose everything because it's sexy. Give me a break. It's my body, preacher, and I don't do it to be sexy. I do it because you do it. Listen, the farther away from God you get, the more clothes come off. Hello? The farther from God you get, the more flesh exposes. The great lessons. I want to give you this. I won't get through, but I'm going to give you this. This is what stimulated my whole process. John chapter 8, verse 29, for I do always those things that please him, came to mind. A few nights ago, I was watching the news channel. I very rarely do that. I told you I don't watch it because it's depressing. But a few nights ago, they had something different on there, and they said, we're going to show this after commercial, and it caught my attention, so I stayed tuned. And there was, quote unquote, a Christian guy, and quote-unquote a Christian girl that was on one of these TV reality programs, and he was asking her if she had ever had sex before. It was on one of these, I don't know what it is, either a bachelor looking for a wife and all these women, or it was a woman looking for a husband and had all these bachelors. It's some of that junk. I don't watch that garbage. Garbage. Hello? Garbage. Thank you. Boy, it's like pulling teeth without Novocaine. That's what I'm talking about. We get so calloused about things. When I go to the doctor's office, I'm amazed at some of the junk they've got the TV tuned to on the wall. Garbage. And yet people are sitting there laughing and having a great time at it, being brainwashed the whole time. Garbage. But Fox News showed a segment of some reality TV show where a former Miss Alabama beauty winner has become the spokeswoman now for Christians and non-Christian women alike who've had sex before marriage. I have written in my notes that it was a bachelorette interviewing bachelors for her to marry. And in the process of the shows, apparently they eliminate one or two and then they come back and they got this many left and this many left. But part of the ungodliness of it is they go and spend the night together in this room and they tempt them to do things they shouldn't be doing. And it's part of the process of elimination or acceptance for the next bachelor and on and on. Finally, one young man, she was interviewing him supposedly to see if he's going to remain on the show or not. And he says, you know, something to the effect, I can't take any more. I'm a Christian. I believe that in the old-fashioned rule that you don't have sex before marriage. And you and so-and-so on the show spent the night over here. And you and so-and-so, there apparently were like 20 guys that she had the possibility of sleeping with. And he says, I got to know before we go any farther because I'm going to eliminate myself from being one of the candidates if the answer is yes. He said, have you had sex with any of the men so far? Well, she got offended because he asked that question. And she said, well, Mr. Whatever, you know, I'm a Christian as well as you are. Oh, now we're bringing Christianity down in the gutters where it is a lot of times. In our apathetic Christianity. And it's on national TV. Christianity's in the gutter now. Well, I'm a Christian just like you are. You have no right to ask me that. Well, now we debate. We got panels debating. Well, I think he had the right to ask that because if that's going to be his wife, you know, he needs to have the right to know if she slept around or not or the possibility of contracting some kind of disease if she slept with 20 of those guys and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, in all likelihood, it's no right for a man to know any more than it is for a woman to know. What goes on beforehand should not be. And so on. Hey, it's crazy. Shake your heads like this. It's crazy. Just shake them anyway. So I don't know if you agree with it or don't disagree. It's just, you know, we just cover it up. But it's fornication. Fornication. Which means sex before marriage. And God detests it. He said it again and again and again. Paul mentioned those in the church in Corinth who were doing that. And he said, it's time that you deal with this problem so I don't have to deal with it when I come. It was open and known. It was ungodly and wicked. It was not just a thing of the world. In our day and age, it's become a non-issue. Well, this thing went on and it just grabbed hold of me. And she claimed to be a Christian and she says, you know what? She called this guy by name. I forget what it was. Doesn't matter. She called this guy by name and she says, you know what? Jesus loves me anyway. I mean, she may have slept with 20 guys, but I'm a Christian. Jesus loves me anyway. What I said in the very beginning is what I mean. God loves us unconditionally. But it does not mean that we do not displease Him by our actions. And when I displease my earthly father by my actions, even though He loved me unconditionally, sometimes He took a strap to my legs and strapped me and made marks all over my legs and made me a believer that what I was doing was wrong and I would not do it again. And I didn't. I learned my lesson. In John chapter 14, I want you to see this. We're going to close. In John chapter 14, in verse number 21, Jesus is having an intimate time with His disciples in the upper room just before He goes to the cross. Just before He goes to the cross. In John 14, verse 21, He said this. He that hath my commandments. Oh, wait, look up here. Do you have God's commandments? If you have a Bible, you have them. Now, the question is, are they in your heart? You're born again, but does that mean that you're going to keep His commandments? Not necessarily. It's a will. It's a choice every day, every moment to keep His commandments. Notice what He says. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Notice he says in verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Young people, listen to me. Jesus Christ loved you with all of His heart and all of His soul and died on the cross to prove it and to pay the penalty for your sin. You can talk about being a Christian all day long. You can talk about loving God all day long, and I will not hear it. Unless your life matches up with what you claim to be. There are those around you in Christian school, in homeschool groups. You're not immune to it. Sometimes we seem to get the idea because I send my kid to Christian school or I have my own homeschool group that my kids are not exposed and they're not involved. I'm here to tell you, you've been fooled. You've been hoodwinked. You better get a life. You better recognize your child can do the worst of worst just like anybody else's child. And you better try to prevent it and head it off by loving and preaching and teaching your children the rights and the wrongs. And so I'm saying right here, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The proof is in the pudding. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie. That's part of Jesus' commandment. Do you lie? Christian person, do you lie? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication. The proof's in the pudding. Do you lie? Do you lust? Jesus said it's not just that you committed adultery or fornication with this individual, but you looked and lust. You looked and fantasized in your mind what it would be like, and you just as well have committed that sin already in your heart because you lust. Christian person, are you there? It's not a harmless little thing. It ingrains in your psyche. It ingrains in your flesh. It affects your spiritual walk with Jesus. And this girl says, I'm a Christian just like you. Who do you think you are to judge me? I'm a Christian. And you know what? Jesus loves me anyway. The question is not, does Jesus love you? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not about whether God loves us. It's about whether you love God. This is the man that pleased God always. Why? Because he loved the Father so desperately. Child of God, how do you prove to God that you love Him? Well, my mom and dad gets me up and I go to church. That doesn't prove it. Well, my mom and dad's been teaching me that I need to give tithes and offerings. That doesn't teach it either. A man can give out of a cold heart. How do you prove to God that you love Him? That you're a child of His? By pleasing Him. How do you please Him? Jesus said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. See, he recognizes that there is an effort and there is a conscious choice to keep the Word of God, to keep the commandments of God in my heart and in my soul, no matter what everyone else is doing and no matter what the allurement might be or how forceful that allurement might be, I need to break away because I love Jesus. And I love what He did for me enough that I'm not going to displease Him by defiling my body with a young lady or a young man. I'm not going to defile myself by taking drugs or alcohol. I'm not going to defile myself by viewing pornography when I know it's wrong. If I want to show my love to Jesus, I'm going to abide by His commandments. I'm going to abide by His Word. I'm going to do what He says because I want to please Him. The great lessons learned. Jesus said again and again, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. But here's Jesus' example. For I do always those things that please Him. Always those things that please Him. Aren't you sick to death of hearing of Christian people divorcing? Aren't you sick to death of hearing Christian people that turned the wrong corner, made the wrong choice, and wrecked their lives? And they had such potential and promise, but they wrecked their lives because they made choices of the flesh rather than choices of the Spirit. Hey, if you're one of those sitting here today, I can tell you something. Our God is a God of a second and a third chance. If you'll come back to Him, He'll come to you. If you'll draw near unto Him, He'll draw near unto you. Child of God, in this small congregation this morning, there are people who view pornography on a regular basis because the statistics say there's this many percentages and it happens. It's wicked. It's defiling. It's harmful. It will do you no good. It will thrill the flesh for a moment. But it'll bring about depression and darkness. So will alcohol. So will drugs. Don't let some young man or young lady woo you into a relationship before you are married. Protect her, protect him. Take charge yourself. Lead out yourself. Adults, we're to be teaching and training these young people. This is what God expects of them. In every area. Sometimes moms and dads are hesitant about talking about, you know. Well, we just talked about it this morning. Help me. Help me take what has been preached and preach it again and again and again and encourage your young people to be pure, to please God. Father, thank you for the word this morning. I trust and pray that it's honored.